Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tram. Today we're going to be learning the halachas in intimacy. This is Siman 150, Siman Kuf Nun in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. This relates to some of the halachas that pertain to the perspective on marital intimacy. Let's look at this from the prism of five concepts: conduct during intimacy, environment, appropriate time to be together, intention, and limitations. So let's talk about conduct during intimacy. The Kitzur starts off with the following sentence, which says, "Ro'oi lo adam lahargilas atzmoi bekedusha yaseira uvemachshava tahara uvedas nechona b'shas tashmish." People should have during the process of intimacy should have thoughts. They thoughts of holiness and purity of thought, and this should be the appropriate setting. It cannot just be that this is a game of lust. Let's look at some of these questions that relate to this. So how should one conduct oneself during marital relationships? So he describes it with holiness, pure thoughts, and correct attitude. There should not be any frivolousness or indecent speech, even between a couple in private. The Mishnah tells us in Perkei Avos that a person's speech is going to be presented by them at the time of din in the world to come. That's even the private conversations at the times of marital relations. Is a conversation permitted during the act itself? So for the need of being together, this includes words of affection or tahat in anticipation. They are allowed, but not frivolous words. And nor should a conversation about mundane matters or other people be introduced into the conversation. Can a couple be together when they are angry with each other? So they are not allowed to. They may speak to each other to make up, but they cannot be intimate before that has been resolved. What is the appropriate position for marital relations? As described by the Gemara, the man should be on top and the woman underneath. Other positions are looked at negatively in the Gemara. The Gemara has a whole description about some of the negative connotations about this. It seems to be describing it on a spiritual, metaphysical level that relates to this. Is thinking about Torah words allowed during the process of intimacy? The answer is yes. It's considered even meritorious. Only speaking Torah is forbidden in such contexts. If speech is prohibited, then why is thought allowed? So when it comes to erva, when it comes to exposure to uncovered parts of the body, one is allowed to think Torah, but one may not say Torah. When one is exposed to something like excrement, which is inherently dirty, then one may not even think Torah. May a husband look at his wife's private parts? Her genitalia? The answer is no. Doing so removes shame and increases desire. Similarly, kissing that area is considered a violation, is not appropriate. We move now into the environment. That's the next topic. So is marital intimacy allowed in a lit room? The answer is no, unless the light is fully blocked or there is a barrier of at least 10 tefachim, 36 inches high in front of it. Is intimacy permitted by daylight? Again, the answer is no. And it's not enough just for the couple to cover themselves. It needs to be that there's a curtain drawn, the room is darkened. What happens if there's moonlight streaming through the window or light which has come, ambient light coming from another room? So in that case, it must be blocked, but a covering with a garment or a covering is sufficient in this situation. May marital relations occur in the presence of an awake person, and this is strictly prohibited even when there is a partition. What happens if there's a child in the room? Is the child allowed to be there? So if the child is below the age of speaking, then it is permitted. Is one allowed to have a relationship in a room in which there's a Sefer Torah? The answer is no. It needs to be removed, or it needs to be closed off and behind a mechitza, completely separated altogether. Are bed curtains sufficient as a partition? So some beds, let's say, which they have curtains around them, it's only if they're tied at the bottom that they're completely a complete separation, so it's considered a separate domain. What about printed svarim or tefillin or other items of kedusha? So for those, they can be in the same room without a division, that they're in like a separate room, but they need to be what's called a kli besoich kli, in one vessel covered by another vessel as well. And one of those vessels cannot be the both of those vessels cannot be the designated vessels for it. So let's say a tefillin bag, and let's say it's in a talis bag, that would not be sufficient. But if it's in a tefillin bag and it's in a box which is covered, that would be considered two covers as well. Because if it's the irregular designated cover, even if there's 100 of them, it doesn't help. Is a glass cover valid? The answer is no. It cannot be that both are transparent. It needs to be that at least one of them is opaque. What about the mezuzah inside the room? So the mezuzah obviously is a parchment which has the name of Hashem and has psukim in it. So it must be double covered, and the name Shakai, which is Hashem's name on the outside, must also be covered. So it needs to have an opaque cover. And that's why it's best to have bedroom doors. The mezuzah should be on the outside because of this specific concern. Where is it prohibited to have relationships elsewhere? So marketplaces, streets, gardens, or orchards, even when they're abandoned, there's no one there as well. It may only be in private dwellings. Are guests permitted to have relationships when visiting somebody else's home? So only if they have their own private quarters, and also they should cover the sheets as modesty, so it shouldn't be obvious to their hosts that they were together. We move to our third concept, and that is appropriate times to be together. The Ketzer quote says as follows, Lo yehi ragil b'yoser im ishtoi ela ba'oina. A man should not be overly indulgent with his wife, only at the time of oina. What is oina? Oina is seen as the conjugal right that a husband owes to his wife. What's fascinating about the Torah concept of intimate relationships is that it's seen in the context of marriage as a responsibility the husband owes his wife to give her pleasure, to make her happy, make her feel comfortable and loved. That's the way it's seen, and therefore it's not about him having a pleasure outlet. It's not about them finding a opportunity for lust activation. It's about the responsibility our husband has to a wife. And that being the case, there are specific times which are called oina, which are the times that she has the rights to the conjugal rights. What is interesting as well is the word oina in the Torah, which is the word used to describe this, also means time. So this is not referring to simply it's the stimulation of sexual organs. This is referring to time that is given, and the intimacy itself is a reflection of that time of the giving of the husband to the wife and this beautiful time that can be spent together. So a few basic things. How often is a man obligated to have marital relations with his wife? So it really depends on the types of jobs they have, and he goes through a whole list, which it's not perhaps so harder to understand how it applies today. But healthy and wealthy men who are local and don't have too many financial worries could even be nightly, local laborers twice a week, city traveling workers once a week, long distance merchants once in 30 days, and for Torah scholars once a week on Friday nights. Those are the descriptions of the oina. Must one fulfill these even during pregnancy? The answer is yes, unless the wife consents otherwise and they fulfill the mitzvah pru urivu of having children. What if he withholds relations to afflict his wife? In that case, he violates a commandment. He is violating anasa lo yigra. He may not take away her conjugal rights. When else must a husband be with his wife? So if she comes back from the mikveh, before a trip or that he's going on, or when she indicates to him subtly that she would like to be with him. What happens if she openly demands relations with him? That's considered brazen, is not a good sign. What is the best time for marital relations? Technically speaking, it's supposed to be in the middle of the night. Why is this? It's because there's less people around and it won't trigger them to think about others during their relations. But many posts can point out that if they're going to be too tired to wait till then they may have relations earlier. What must be done before touching oneself? One should wash one's hands 3 times alternately. After one is with each other. We move to our fourth concept, which is intention. What should be the intent behind relations? So for the husband, it should be fulfilling her rights, having children for who brought up to Torah mitzvahs, and helping improve fetal health. Is it okay to relieve lustful desires for a man through having a relationship? Technically speaking, yes, but that's not the point of this. It's not meant to be that, but a restraint is obviously better. What is the rule of thumb? The general rule is, as the Gemara tells us in Sukkah, Mar'ivo Saveh Maspia Ro'ev. If a man satiates his sexual desire, he will always want more. But if he doesn't satiate it, he will be satiated. That's the irony of all of this. Is a little too little is better than a little too much. Isn't intimacy allowed during a famine or national calamity? So, technically speaking, one should not be having sexual relationships when there's a national calamity, except for the night of mikveh, or if a couple are childless. Must a wife be willing to have relationships? The answer is absolutely yes. And any force, forget it, God forbid marital rape, that's not allowed at all. But even forcing her is not allowed. What if spouses hate each other? Or let's say that one of them is planning to divorce the other. May they have relationships? And the answer is no. When they're in that state, they're not allowed to have marital relations. May one have one's relations if one of the partners is asleep or drunk? The answer is no. Drowsy is fine, but asleep or drunk, that is not allowed at all. Finally, last concept is limitations. When is it unhealthy to have sexual relations or marital relations? So when one is very full or very hungry, standing, sitting, or after bathing or bloodletting, and on the day of or surrounding strenuous travel. Is it permitted to have relations on a bed with a baby? So the Kitzur points out one should be very, very careful because it could knock the baby off the bed, and that could be very dangerous. Finally, what are the dangers of excess intimacy? And just a few things described from the times of the Gemara: premature aging, physical weakness, eye damage, hair loss, bad breath, tooth loss, and early death. And these may be spiritual more than physical descriptions of when a person is too inundated in the relationship of the physical. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.